Let's talk a little bit about the Nature Conservancy. Tell me how it came about.
Well, the Nature Conservancy started back in the early 80s when the National Park Service realized the importance of the value of this large block of land which belonged to the Chapman-Barnard Ranch. Mr. Chapman and Mr. Barnard were two wealthy oil men in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that had at one time this ranch in the Osage. They had over 100,000 acres, and they sold off it down to around 40,000, sold off various parts of it, and they put together probably one of the finest ranches in the world. In fact, it was, quote, the ideal ranch at the World's Fair in 1936 in Brussels, Belgium, and did photographs of this wonderful ranch that they put together, and it was their favorite thing that they liked to do. They'd like to come out to the ranch and play cowboy. They had another large ranch in Texas and two more in Oklahoma and one in New Mexico. They made a lot of money in the oil and gas business, but they had diversified into the ranching business, which they kind of liked being out with the cowboys. Of course, they grew old. Mr. Chapman died, and Mr. Barnard did too, and the Bank of Oklahoma, which was the surviving entity that was their trustee for the operation of these ranches, realized they could not operate them, and so National Park Service decided they should come down and check it out because they knew this was one of the largest pieces of remaining tall grass prairie in existence in the United States of America. Some of the ranchers thought it was going to be a ripoff for the government. They were going to take all this land and they'd never have a chance to buy it. Everybody wanted to buy it. So they got the government's bill to make it a national park waylaid, so it was still up for sale. Joe Williams of Williams Companies was the CEO and chairman, had just formed the Nature Conservancy in Oklahoma. He formed the Nature Conservancy with about six or seven of us at that time. I thought it was a good thing. It was such a beautiful place that it just seemed like it needed to be kept like a national park because it was so unique. I didn't know if any of our ranches would ever be around 100 years from today. But if it was in the Nature Conservancy's hands, it would probably be there 100 years, so your grandchildren could come back and say, oh, what a wonderful thing this is. So between Nature Conservancy and Kerr McGee Corporation, the Williams Company coming together with the Nature Conservancy because of Joe Williams, they were able to raise the money to buy the property from really the Barnard family, which is about half of the amount. Well, it was about 30,000 acres at that time. They've acquired some more since then. But still, that's how the Nature Conservancy wound up. It was the largest landscape vista that they had accomplished at that time. So it really set a precedent for the National Nature Conservancy. And they've since gone on to do a lot of other large-scale acquisitions in the United States. But this was really the first of their major large-scale acquisitions. But it all started right here in Oklahoma. And really, because of Joe Williams of the Williams Companies.
But it did meet with some resistance, I believe, from area ranchers. Is that true?
Yes, it did. And still, my friend John Hughes is not too happy with it today, I don't think.
Why was there resistance?
Well, because everybody thinks it's quasi-government, and that one of these days that they will sell it to the federal government, which I doubt. Who knows? But I think it'll be kept intact. The main thing is that it should be kept intact as the Tallgrass Prairie Nature Preserve.
Wasn't there a reason that they resisted it? Because it took all these thousands of acres of grass out of production and leasing availability?
That's exactly right. You know, if you could split it up in 7,000 or 8,000 acre ranches or 10,000 acre ranches, there were 5 or 10 ranchers. But in one generation, those would be split up and they'd be sold. And you'd have a whole lot of small properties that could be junked out pretty quick. And you would lose the wide open spaces. That's the thing that needed to be preserved, in my way of thinking, that we needed at least one piece of this beautiful tall grass prairie that needed to be preserved for future generations as the home of the tall grass prairie and the wide open spaces.
So whatever may come, we don't know what's going to happen even to the Drummond Ranch 200 years from now and so forth.
Yeah.
People can come back and say, this is the way it was. This is the way the ranches looked.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And now buffalo are roaming.
They got 2,200 head of buffalo up there. And then they take in quite a few cattle, too. They take in cattle for steer operators. It's a supplemental income. The Tallgrass Prairie, they'll lease out about at least a third or 40% of their acreage for cattle. research projects are done with livestock up there as well, particularly for burning. You know, burning was an integral part of Mother Nature's way of taking care of the prairie. Of course, the Indians used that tool to burn parts of the prairie so that there would be better grazing for the wild game, for the buffalo and the deer. Mother Nature did it for years, and since they quit making it where you could burn in a lot of parts of Oklahoma, you see how these areas have grown up in red cedar and other noxious plants and have become utterly useless. So the cattle ranchers still burn, and the tall grass prairie, they do experiments with burning. They try to burn all of that prairie up there once every 3 years.
You've served as chair of the Nature Conservancy, haven't you?
Yes.
Are you now?
No, I am just an emeritus member of the board.
Well, you've given time to it, and that was honorable.
Been involved for a long time, from day one.